audience. Loveline may contain sexually oriented content. Listener discretion is advised. Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew. Loveline, coast to coast.
Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam Carolla. That is Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Dr. Drew, board certified physician, addiction medicine specialist.
Yada, yada, yada.
Yada, yada, yada. We had a long, grueling day of taping man shows.
Nice.
And we magically seem to finish right about 9:30. So I run to the Loveline studio so I can be with you people here. And, of course, Drew.
More importantly.
You ready to rock here, buddy?
Let's go, dude.
Grant?
Yeah.
26?
Yes, sir.
What's up?
Colorado to Dallas. Just to get away from all the trouble I was getting into here with me and my girlfriend. We've been together about 6 years. We grew up together. Went to Dallas. I started getting mixed up in the drugs again. And every summer we come to Colorado for vacation. And this summer when we came, she dropped me off at my mom's and took off and left. And she went back to Dallas. She finally talked to me the other night and told me she's doing it for my own good, just so I get cleaned up. Told me that she's not saying it's over, but I need to get help first.
Yeah, all right.
I started getting help as soon as we got back here, before I even talked to her.
What is your question?
I mean, she said she's doing it to, you know, care about me. She wants me to get straightened up. And
she did exactly the right thing.
What are you into?
I was into amphetamines.
Uh-huh.
Amphetamines.
And you taking the pills?
No, I was doing meth.
Crystal.
Were you smoking it?
I was smoking it, snorting it.
Bad times. And how long has it been? Have you been clean for a little while?
It's been 4 weeks now. I've been going to NA and AA meetings.
Do you have a sponsor?
Not yet, I don't.
All right. Well, you just haven't gotten started yet, so go ahead and get to it.
And I just started seeing a drug and alcohol therapist.
Great.
So now you're in Colorado.
Your girlfriend has done you a huge, huge service, hasn't she? She's
may have really saved your life.
Yeah.
Now she's in Dallas.
Yes, she is.
All right. And you want to get back together?
I'd love to. I mean, there's two kids involved.
When are you going back to Dallas?
As soon as I figure out what I'm doing with my life and I get my stuff together.
All right.
Remind her that she needs to start going to some Al-Anon because as you grow, she won't be so happy with you when you're not an addict anymore. She'll want you back the way you were before your addiction got out of control, but not actually better, not actually changed, you see.
So she needs to get help, too.
That's right, in order for this relationship really to go well.
Okay.
She wasn't into drugs either?
She's doing, but she's not addicted. I mean, she'd do them just to shut me up.
Right, she was your using buddy. But that means that she is severely, severely codependent. And that needs to be dealt with. Or if she sees you grow and move away, you're going to be less sort of appealing to her.
Okay.
She'll find another drug addict to focus on.
Yeah, we grew up together. I mean, elementary, high school, junior.
All right, we'll get her to go to some Al-Anon meetings.
All right.
Okay. And on behalf of the kids, for crying out loud.
All right, Grant, you just keep doing your work.
All right, man.
Don't obsess on her.
Oh, no, I'm not. I mean, I'm worried about me, and I just want to know, I mean, is she playing with me, or if she's really trying to help me?
That's you worrying about her.
Yeah, she's already helped you. That's all you got to know.
Okay. Worry about you, and me, too.
Okay.
Well, everyone should focus on Adam.
Focus on me.
Yeah.
Adam Carolla. Carolla.
Really? C-A-R?
Yeah. Everyone spells it C-O-R, even in articles. And they never ask me.
Yeah.
But to me, Carolla, I never say Corolla to anybody.
Yeah, but the car.
You think the car gets everybody?
Oh absolutely.
Do you think?
They don't really like you. You don't have any showmanship.
Is it just me? That's true. Is it just me, or does C-O-R look worse than C-A-R?
It doesn't look like a name. It looks like a car.
Is that what happens?
Yeah.
Is that what's poisoned everybody?
Right.
Because the C-A-R looks okay.
Corolla looks like the name of something that would grow on the floor of an ocean.
Yeah.
You know, well, the Corolla Reef.
Maybe in a cesspool.
Yeah.
It's ironic that they took the car out of Corolla. All right, let's talk to Shannon, who's 27.
Maybe the Corolla has a
hello?
It means something. Hey, Shannon.
That was fast.
I think Corolla is like part of a flower or something.
Mm-hmm.
All right, let me get Drew's dictionary here.
Hello?
Yeah, what's up there, Shannon?
Ahead.
Yeah, go.
Of course.
Okay, I have several questions for Dr. Drew.
Mm-hmm.
I experienced a missed miscarriage about a week ago, mm-hmm. or I guess sometimes they call it a missed abortion.
Mm-hmm. What's a missed miscarriage?
It is when the fetus dies and it doesn't, you don't go through the normal behaviors of a miscarriage, like bleeding.
You don't know that you've miscarried.
Right.
So it was missed.
Right. Yeah. Like I went in for my prenatal appointment.
Oh.
And they just couldn't find the heartbeat. And
right. Couldn't find anything.
Did you freak out?
Well, of course.
Yeah. Traumatizing. Yeah.
Yeah. So one question I have is I found out in that prenatal appointment when I went into the ultrasound after they couldn't find the heartbeat that it was actually twins. And this was at my 16-week appointment.
Ooh.
And the doctor had not detected that it was twins earlier. So
how did they know it was twins at the time of the discovery of an abortion?
Pardon?
How did they know it was twins now? Because
they did an ultrasound at that prenatal appointment. He couldn't find the heartbeat, so we went in and did an ultrasound immediately, and he saw the twins in the ultrasound.
Oh, so you didn't even have a missed abortion. You had
no, I didn't have any. I mean,
it's called intrauterine demise.
Yeah, exactly. Like yeah. When he scheduled the procedure, he called it a fetal demise.
Yeah,
that was the name of my band in junior high. And was he freaking out when he was like looking for the heartbeat, not finding it?
No, he was really calm and professional. I didn't expect that either. It was pretty shocking.
Jeez, the petals of a flower constituting the inner flora envelope surrounding the sporoph.
That's where the corolla is.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. So.
All right. Yeah, we got problems over here too. You know, Shannon.
Okay. So my first question is, I'm just confused about why he could not detect that it was twins at earlier.
It's very difficult. Oh, it's almost impossible without ultrasound.
But you know, everybody else who I know who's had twins, but I had an ultrasound. I had an intravaginal ultrasound at 8 weeks.
Even then, it's very difficult. We thought we had quadruplets. At the beginning.
What?
And then they couldn't tell, and they didn't know how many, and maybe it was triplets. It's very difficult. Look, you're looking at a single plane view of a three-dimensional, and it's sort of an ice pick through, which is what ultrasound is, a three-dimensional system, and it's very difficult sometimes.
What's the intervaginal one?
You send a probe up the vagina.
No!
You've never seen those?
No, I don't know if I've seen them or not. I let me tell you something.
Oh, you got a lot to learn, Daddy.
I was at the, like I said, I was at the man show today. One of our cue card guys just had a kid. About a week ago, and he's like, you know, showing people pictures, and he's, hey, here, yeah, look at her, look at him, he's, look at him here, look at him here, and then he's like, here he is coming out, and I averted my gaze. I said,
out of respect.
The guy's showing the pic. I don't know if it's his wife's vagina that I'm looking at, or, like, what's going on? Which people are, you know what I mean? I mean, I understand it's your kid. That's great. Let's see some pictures. You know, you hose the kid down. You put the little beanie on his head. He's in the swaddling clothes. Now, let me have a look. But coming out of the wife's coos.
Nice.
Covered with blood. It's, I don't know. Is that?
You're lucky you didn't pull out a video camera. Think about that.
Or do a reenactment. I mean, maybe it's just me, but I find that a little invasive. I don't want to see
that. We had none of that. None of that.
And the guys that are filming and everything.
And by the way.
What?
It gets emblazoned in your memory. You know,
I got to beat off in 2.5 hours.
No, I don't mean the seeing these things again and again on pictures.
Hold on, I'm sorry. 2 hours, 22 minutes.
And 45 seconds?
Yeah, because I'll be home at 12:23.
You and the rat?
Yeah. I'm sorry. Oh.
Right,
but go ahead.
But the experience becomes emblazoned in your memory. Almost you don't want to say spoil it with, like, reenactments and pictures. You know what I mean? You have your memory, and that's something you cherish, and that's that.
All right.
Anyway, she has more questions, she said.
Shannon?
Hello?
Yeah, you're
yes.
Here.
All right. I have several more questions.
Right. Yeah, I know. We put you on hold, though, because
okay,
I don't want you interrupting
really
my jag.
Right.
Okay. So I've been trying to find more information about this very rare type of miscarriage. And
well, it's not rare. Not rare at all.
Well, it just doesn't seem like I can find much about it, especially since it happened in the second...
About fetal demise?
Especially since it happened in the second trimester. Most of the information I found talks about this happening at, you know, 5 weeks
mm-hmm.
or 7 weeks.
That's true.
Whatever.
That's the more serious stuff. But you do need to research this a little bit. You need to talk to someone about what happened and what might have gone wrong and what the risks were for you particularly.
Well, that's what I'm confused about.
Not a 50% of pregnancies end prematurely. Now, yes, it's not
50%, really?
Yeah, it's not that
almost
common.
Almost half.
not that common during the second trimester, but fetal demise at any stage is something that happens.
Hello?
Fetal demise at almost any stage is something that happens,
right?
Shannon.
Yeah, I understand that.
Okay.
But what confuses me more is the more I've read about it, especially in the second trimester, it seems to suggest that incompetent cervix would be
one of the main causes. Yeah, but you didn't have that.
Right, okay, so that's a logical conclusion that that's probably not going to be a problem for me because it would have then I would have gone through a normal miscarriage.
All right, that's enough.
You're going to keep having more and more and more questions because you want to control this and make it better and make sure it doesn't happen again, which is that's not the way nature works. We're talking about human biology here, and you can't control everything. Yes, it's worthwhile looking into what the risks were for you, what might have happened. But you're going to sit down with your doctor and plan it out and be more careful, perhaps, in terms of how it's followed up because you're now a high-risk pregnancy. Perhaps you want to see a high-risk obstetrician this time.
Oh, you know, I'm sorry for what happened to Shannon, but, oh, she sounds like a pain in the ass. Jenny?
Yes?
You're 18?
Yes.
What's up?
Okay, I have a problem. With me and my boyfriend, we're always intimate and everything, but I'm not able to have an orgasm.
All right.
Well, during intercourse?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's normal.
I mean, it bothers me, though, because like, a lot of my friends be saying, oh, you know, I'm always having an orgasm with my boyfriend, this and this and that. And
have you ever had one?
Well, yeah, but not with him, just myself.
Just by yourself.
Okay. Yeah, it's a masturbation, you could call it whatever.
Can you get him? It's Rosie.
Is this Perez? Yeah, is this J-Lo or Rosie?
Can you ask him to do to you what you're able to do to yourself?
Oh, yeah, he could do it to me.
All right, well, you understand, Jenny, most women, particularly your age, do not have orgasm during intercourse. And there's a good chance you never will, really. Not regularly, anyway.
No?
That's normal for a woman.
I didn't know that, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I know. A lot of stuff that is normal for women that doesn't get talked about, unfortunately. Women are taught that they're somehow impaired if they have normal female kinds of reactions.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
How unattractive is that New York accent?
Yeah.
It's a horrible dialect. I mean, if you take a woman who's like a good solid 7, 7.5, and you give her a British accent as opposed to that New Jersey thing, Queens thing, how much higher is her number? Could there be any more unattractive dialect than that? What is that? Why is that so unappealing?
Let's hear it.
No, I can't ask her. Oh, well, Jenny.
Yes?
Where are you from?
I'm from Queens.
All right. Hi, baby. You're having those orgasms on your own.
That makes you better than average right there.
Maybe your boyfriend could give you a little oral sex?
Yeah.
Does he do that?
Yeah, I mean, sometimes it happens and I actually have an orgasm, but
During the oral sex?
Yeah.
Okay, at 18, you're ahead of the curve with that. Right there, boom.
Just a time saver for all the callers. When you say sometimes it happens, you don't have to follow it up with sometimes it doesn't. Sometimes it happens is enough. I get the picture.
Or sometimes it doesn't. You can make your choice.
Yeah, oh, you can pick your choice.
Right,
yeah,
way,
but
yeah.
I choose to think that the vagina is half full instead of half empty.
Of course. Yes.
Yeah. And this is to me, these people that do that, we're engaged
to be married.
He was framed for a crime he didn't commit. I like that one, too.
Right.
It's not what you call an economy of words. Amanda?
Yes.
You're 22?
Yes.
You're in the Navy?
Yes, I am.
Cool.
All right.
What's
you're a wave.
No, I'm a sailor.
All right, what's going on?
Oh, what's the difference between a wave and a sailor?
Wave was back in like the 50s or something crazy like that.
Yeah, but that was just the women's...
Yeah, I actually went through boot camp and we're full-fledged Navy now. Full-fledged.
All right.
My question is, I've been on the double shot since I was basically 15, 16. I didn't have my period since 97.
Mm.
I got to the boat in March, and as soon as I got to the boat, I was still on the double shot, and I started my period, and I was basically on my period until I got off the boat. And right now they have me on birth control pills, and it's normaling out now, but that just kind of freaked me out a little bit, and I'm wondering, is that okay? Or should I just see a civilian doctor?
No, look, when you're on the depot shot, the bleeding can be all over the place. It can be constant or not at all or back and forth.
What kind of boat are you on?
I was on a carrier.
Just know that.
Ooh,
oh, wow.
Nice.
Most typically, you'll have bleeding constantly for 3 months, and then it will
but
go.
I didn't have anything for 5 years.
And then it will go away and not come back, unless it does. And sometimes it comes back. And there you go. It came back. You have a lot of stress, a lot of physical, you know, a lot of changes in your physical exertion. And, yeah, you have your period, sure. And now you're on the pill, and that will, you know, start cycling you again.
Another question is, since I've been off the Depo shot.
No, wait a minute. Listen, I got some questions for you.
What's up?
We answered your question. Now you answer some of mine.
What's up?
What do you do on that carrier?
I work with computers.
Yeah. That doesn't sound very destructive. And
what computers operate the missiles, though?
What deck you on? You on a lower deck?
I worked all over, actually.
Mm-hmm. What kind of jets they got taken off that carrier?
F-18s, F-14s, S-3s, you know.
It's an F-3.
Yeah.
S-3.
Did she say S-3?
I think so. I don't know. I don't work with the jets. I work with computers.
All right. And, you know, they say those carriers are like a floating city.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
It's crazy on there.
Yeah. Is yours a newer carrier?
Yeah. We were on a newer one.
Which one?
California.
In California.
How new is it?
A couple years.
Maybe Roosevelt?
It's not an old one.
They never have to refuel those babies. Never. Nuclear. Yeah. Just keep going and going and going.
Yeah.
That's a good time. See a lot of jets taking off on the deck?
Yeah, it was noisy.
Yeah. Right.
Right. Wait, when you say it's like a floating city, was there a whole sort of social structure, or because of the Navy, everything was pretty controlled?
I don't know. There was a social structure, kind of, but it's very limited, considering you can't leave the boat for anything.
You meet any dudes on the boat?
Friends. Yeah.
And what is the ratio men to women on that boat?
Honestly, I have no idea.
No idea.
No.
You
honestly,
see,
I have no
just
idea.
just as many women as you see men, for instance.
No, there are more men.
But is it 5 to 1?
Honestly, I have no idea.
How is it that you go out on at sea for months on end? And you have no idea what the ratio is from men to women.
I never paid attention to it.
So you just...
I just kind of did my own thing on the boat.
I mean, you did your own thing, but you're eating in the mess hall there. You're walking up and down the hallways. There's people you work with. Are there a lot of women?
There's a few.
Oh.
There's more men, but there's a few women on there.
All right. Thank you. I now have no more questions about the carriers. You've answered. No.
Yes.
No.
Go ahead.
No, you can't with there's a few. No. Done with her. No, because what I'm looking for is she probably sees 20 guys for every woman.
Right.
I don't need the exact numbers. What I need is there's a lot of guys and only a handful of women or you'd be surprised. There's quite a few women on that boat, on that ship. I work with 8, and there's only 12 people who work in my department. That's what I'm looking for. Not, I don't know, I don't know, I don't know.
Keep to myself.
Quite a few, I don't know. Well, you don't know. You're at sea. But here's what I'm saying, Drew. You know, the thing about Navy men is they may be stupid, but they're not bad looking.
Mm-hmm.
See, the equivalent of this for a male would be stupendous. Think about this for a second.
If a male could be locked on a ship with...
Here's what I'm saying. Your average woman, just physically, just plain physically, who enters the service and is going out on a carrier is probably in the range, in the looks department, the average 4. Maybe a 4. Maybe a 3. Phone screener Brian says 3. We'll make it 3.5. Now, the average guy that joins the Navy is not unattractive. He probably is better looking than the average guys at an Ivy League school. See what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Maybe even a junior college. Mm-hmm. I mean, good-looking guys are notoriously stupid. They get out of high school. They don't go off to college, and then they join the service. So imagine the equivalent of this if it was flopped around. You're a guy, you're out at sea, you're on a ship, it's 20 to 1 in your favor, and the guys are averaging a 6.5 or 7.
The problem with that is, in any structure of nature, that would never happen. Immediately, the men would outnumber the women. You could try to contain a ship like that; it would never stay. Never, they'd be landing helicopters on it.
All right,
dump guys off.
Vaughn,
hello.
24.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
They couldn't maintain it.
I know. Too good to be true.
Yeah.
What's up there, Vaughn?
Oh, hello, hey guys. No, I was just saying real quick that, yeah, the ratio is horrible. It's, I was in the Coast Guard, but basically it's, I mean, I was about to say 21 when you said it, so, yeah, there it's pathetic.
Yeah, and the chicks, I'm guessing, aren't real hot, most of them.
Yeah, that's a gentle way to say it.
Hot chick doesn't join up, because a hot chick is joining the service is really the equivalent of a smart student male joining the service. Like, people would stop them.
Yeah, society doesn't encourage hot girls.
No, if there's some guy with straight A's in high school and they said he was going to just join up with the Army of the Marines, someone would stop him and go, what are you doing?
Examine that statement. Society doesn't encourage hot girls to do that?
Well,
hot girls are busy doing other stuff.
Hot girls are busy going on dates and being hostesses at the TGI Fridays and boning guys who were in bands.
There are forces, again, that prevent them from going in that direction. It's not somebody going, this isn't for you, honey.
Right.
No, no way.
Well, it's just the same, really. Chick's going to join up.
Once again, they're going down the path of least resistance.
All right.
That's what humans do.
Well, Vaughn, in your years in the Coast Guard, you didn't see too many hot chicks, huh?
Very few.
Hmm.
But good times.
Yeah, all right, fine. Yeah, good times there, buddy.
All right, take care.
Appreciate it.
One of your production assistants or something?
I don't know, but I like Vaughn. He gives me answers.
Hey, we got to go to
break. Looking for.
On.
Oh, we do?
Yeah.
I got caught up. Joe?
Yes.
You're 17?
Yes. Me and my girlfriend, we've been sexually active for quite some time, and she's always performed oral sex on me, but I've never performed oral sex on her, and I've never done that ever. And recently she's asked me to do it on her. So I tried, and I hated it, and she wants me to keep doing it, but I don't want anything
to
do
with it. You had to choke something down there.
Yeah. All right. Hold on there. Yeah. Joe had almost brought something up.
You hear that?
Yeah. Well, Joe's been on easy street with the receiving the oral sex for all these years and never having to actually put out. Now he's got to put out, and he's not in a good mood about it. Mm. It just goes to show you that everything's relative, you know? Now doing something that is just a reciprocal part of sex that most guys would really enjoy or certainly tolerate to get to them, according to Joe and his sexual vocabulary, hey, what am I doing? This sucks.
Yeah, didn't bargain on this.
Yeah, he was living in a palace, and now he has to go just to a decent condo in Sherman Oaks.
It's more like he was living in a palace, didn't know where the money came from, now he's got to go out and get a job.
Right. Blowjob?
Well.
All right. Well, I'll straighten Joe out when we come back. Hacha! Loveline, I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Next week, The Offspring, Crystal Method. Remember those guys, Drew?
Oh, I'll reintroduce myself to them. Don't worry.
Lincoln.
Or I'll go up and say hi to somebody that's with the band, not the two guys.
Drew has no couth, man. Linkin Park will be in here. Jack Osborne will be in here. So it's quite a week. Which, as you know, Drew, I'm the only host in North America who doesn't like guests.
Oh, yeah.
Now, look, it is less me time.
Well, yeah. More focus, less you. Right?
And it means I have to read, like...
a page.
It's not a full page. I got to read the beats. Joe?
Yes.
All right, so your girlfriend has given you plenty of oral sex.
Yes.
And now...
We're having sex, too.
Yes, buddy. And now you got to pay the fiddler.
Oh, no.
That's fine.
Oh, no? What's so horrible
What was so
about
bad
it?
About
yeah.
it?
That sounds horrible.
It wasn't appealing to me at all, and...
Yeah?
What's the problem?
it just kind of smelled up on me. It was just... I didn't like it at all.
Hmm. Yeah. Well, here's the thing. What else don't you like? What do you put on your hot dog? Ketchup?
Yeah, and mustard.
Oh, and mustard. That's an interesting
But you put ketchup on it, right?
Yeah.
What do you have for breakfast?
What do I have for breakfast?
Yeah, what do you have for breakfast?
cereal.
What kind of cereal?
Captain Crunch.
Oh, yes.
Yep.
Touchdown.
What kind of soda do you like?
Coke.
Yeah. You ever drink any Mountain Dew?
No.
All right. That's
Coke.
Good.
Vanilla Coke?
I hate that stuff.
Okay.
But you don't drink beer, though, do you?
Of course not.
Well, sorry, buddy. Most our 17-year-old callers are alcoholics.
I'm just kidding.
Okay, so, do you drink
tobacco?
Drink Kool-Aid, smoke cigarettes, anything like that?
I do.
What do you do?
Drink Kool-Aid.
Smoke cigarettes.
Oh, you do?
Hmm.
That's a plus.
That didn't quite fit.
All right. Well, listen, Joe, nobody likes going down on chicks. There's really,
that eats Captain Crunch for breakfast.
One out of every 25 guys likes it. And he ruins it for the rest of us. And it's great when you're with a new chick and you're trying to impress him and everything. But once you've settled in your comfort zone, you don't like it. But you know what? There's a lot of stuff you don't like. You don't like going to work, but you like getting paid.
Right, definitely.
You don't like giving a massage, but you like getting a massage.
Uh-huh.
And let me explain how life is once you become an adult. There's whole bunches of stuff you don't want to do, but you do it because in turn, you get stuff.
He's got that equation in his head, but he's so stuck in the yummy phase that I'm not sure he can overcome that.
Here's the thing.
Smoke a bunch of cigarettes before you...
How is it... I mean, what would it be like if for the first year of work, you didn't go to work, they just dropped the check off? And then eventually some guy showed up and said, tomorrow morning I need you there at 7.
You'd be freaked. You'd be shocked.
You're like, this sucks.
Especially if you were used to, like, watching Captain Kangaroo, SpongeBob all day.
And getting paid.
Yeah.
So Joe is now having to show up for work, and he doesn't like it.
But it's aversive, too. You know what I mean? It's not that he doesn't like it. The equation's there. He can't overcome the yummy stuff.
But here's the deal, Joe. Tough ass. You get down there, get busy. If you'd like, you can use my carpet bombing technique.
Also, I wonder if he's getting too near the action. And not where he's supposed to be. You know what I'm saying?
No. So he's actually shoved his head inside of her?
Well, maybe he's getting too much on the inside, not enough on the outside. Guys do that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that could be pretty not yummy.
All right. Hey, Joe?
Yeah.
But, listen, as far as your technique goes, just, take it slow and work the perimeter.
Well, I was pretty nervous, too. I've never done that before.
Yeah.
Where were you were you spending most of your energy?
The outside.
All right. Joe, here's what I want you to be like. I want you to be like a short white guy in the NBA who sets up around the three-point line, tries to drain the three. Not some hard-driving power forward who's taking everything to the hoop.
Mm-hmm.
See what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That's my technique. Hover around. Go for the 12-footer. Use the glass. Sarah?
Yeah.
You're 19?
Mm-hmm. My sister was molested when we were younger, and she said that it could have happened to me, but I wouldn't remember it. So I was wondering what most of the long-term effects of it are.
Well, you can have problems, obviously, with emotional... intensity, emotion we call lability, having trouble controlling your emotions.
Mm-hmm.
You can tend to gravitate towards very chaotic relationships. But already, this was who that did the molesting? Your dad?
A neighbor.
Neighbor. How was your family? What were your parents like?
My parents were okay. They weren't the best, but...
All right, so just coming from not the best parents is something that can really set you up for trouble, both in terms of your emotional life and in your relationships, too.
But... if you were molested, I'm sure you'd know about it.
Not necessarily, but...
I was, like, 4.
Yeah, very early on, there's something called dissociation that gets set up if people are sort of badly abused, where they sort of tune out. They sort of think things can become very easily kind of dreamlike, and they use these very primitive ways of managing stress when they're in a relationship.
Well, I don't understand why your sister thinks you were molested, too, though. Did the guy babysit you both?
Yeah, we went over to his house.
Did she see something happen?
No.
Do you sort of dissociate in times of stress? Do you get real sort of out of it and dreamlike and have trouble functioning?
She does have that little girl voice.
Yeah, and that's where people, somehow victimizers sense that victims do that. They freeze and dissociate and sort of prepare for the inevitable.
Yeah.
And that's what they take full advantage of. So you might get some treatment for this. Basically, a lot of the treatment is about not relying on dissociation or finding other ways of managing stress.
Did this guy get prosecuted?
No.
No one ever said anything?
Well, my sister eventually told my mom about it, but she didn't do anything.
Good times. And, there's a fair amount of neighbor stuff going on.
Huh.
One more reason for me not to talk to my neighbors.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Hey, Sarah, how's life going for you?
It's going okay. I'm trying to get everything together and move out and everything.
All right, good.
All right, baby, don't be depressed. Just assume you weren't molested. Well, why not?
Tell me we're going to get some treatment.
Get some treatment, but you don't have to get, like, molestation treatment.
No.
Just get some general.
Well, I did have a therapist for depression.
All right, well, there you go. Just stay with that, okay?
But I'm not with him anymore.
Mm. Well, get back with him.
How come?
I think my stepdad just got tired of paying for it.
All right, well, maybe part of your plan of getting out can be setting some of that up for yourself, some treatment.
Yeah, good times. These neighbors, I tell you, there's a fair amount of this going on. What is that? Do they move in? I mean, is it just serendipity that, I'm a pedophile. Hey, some kids moved in next door. Are they moving in intentionally because there's a family there? Or do they just, how does that work? What, everyone's their neighbor? Is this pedophiles living everywhere?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe they weren't pedophiles. Maybe the guy was just a normal guy and a couple of hot three-year-olds moved in next door.
Oh, my God.
What is up with that? Neighbor, come on over. And by the way, we talk about this all the time, but I can never get my mind around this. You got a couple of girls, a couple of boys, whoever, they live next door. They're 5 years old. They're 8 years old. They're 7 years old. You tell them to come on by. They come on by. You give them a little Kool-Aid, and you put your hand down their pants. You goose them up a little bit in the basement, then you send them back home. You're not sitting home and thinking every time the phone rings it's someone's parents or something? Like, wouldn't you just be on pins and needles?
Constantly.
I mean, wouldn't you just think that one of these days you're going to send one of these five-year-olds home, and they're going to go, you know what, this guy, and he touched it, you know? I mean, like...
Maybe they just start doing it so young, and they learn that it doesn't happen like that. You know, they probably start doing it when they're teenagers.
But you're sitting home, you're a 50-year-old guy, you got your wife there and your adult sons living in the guest house, and you're not, like, just constantly freaked out that you're out front watering and the guy pulls up in the van, he toots his horn, the neighbor, and he's waving to you, and the kid's in the car with him. You're not just constantly scared that the kid's going to go, hey, that guy's, Mr. Wilson over there, you know what, he touched me. You wouldn't just be thoroughly freaked out every second, every day, every time the phone rang, every time you saw the guy, every time they, you know, what about all that stuff where you just come home and there's a message from your neighbor, like, Herb called, says he needs you to call him back. Like, wouldn't you just be like, oh my God, no, I can't call, I gotta move, I gotta kill myself.
Don't assume that everyone's mind works the way yours does.
That's right, buddy. That's why I got a national radio show and I'm literally a millionaire. Literally! Josh?
Yes?
You're 21?
Yes.
What's up?
Well, ever since I've started my sexual activity, I have never actually orgasmed while having sex.
Bad times. What about through oral sex?
Not through oral sex either.
Masturbation?
Masturbation, yes.
How many girlfriends you had?
Quite a few.
You girlfriends, like relationships?
Like relationships, sexual.
No, I mean like an ongoing relationship, a girlfriend.
Most of my relationships have only lasted 2 or 3 months.
All right. How many of those have you had?
I'd say 15.
2 or 3 months each, 15. Have you had any that lasted longer?
Not really. One that went for about 6 months off and on.
How was that one?
It was okay.
Did they need more luck performing with that one?
No.
Really, how do you have 2 or 3 month relationships with 15 girls at 21?
Started at 17.
That's busy.
30 months.
You're just moving right to the next girl constantly?
Well, I started when I was 15, and I've moved around a lot in my life, so I've been to lots of different towns, end up breaking up with relationships and starting new ones in different towns.
Why are you moving so much?
I was with my parents there for a while.
And why were they moving?
Well, one step ahead of the law.
Why were they?
My father. Yeah, one step ahead of the law. There you go.
Why was he moving so much?
Father was in middle management, and he moved around quite a bit.
Yeah, it strikes me that no one's one step ahead of the law anymore.
Yeah.
You know, these radios and all this fingerprinting and DNA stuff and supercomputers sharing information and all that, helicopters. No one's a step ahead of the law anymore. Yeah, those were the days. All right, so, Josh.
Yes.
Hey, I sort of agree with Drew, I think, in saying that you got to get into a long, steady relationship and really work the beats out.
So to speak.
Yeah. And you find someone you're in love with, you really work it out sexually, you're open in front of her, you can show your hand in front of her, and then it works out.
Can't do that?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's possible.
Are you kind of sexual compulsive a little bit?
I'm sexual compulsive.
Are you?
I don't understand.
Yeah, I mean, do you sort of
hump a lot of things?
Cheat a lot,
yeah.
That kind of thing? Were you... Were you sexually abused growing up?
I was sexually molested when I was...
Yeah, I got that loud and clear from him.
Yeah.
And so I think that's a big part of what this is.
Who molested you? Neighbor?
Yeah, it was actually a neighbor.
Yeah, there you go.
Good times.
I'll tell you, if I move again, I'm going to have my realtor look into this. Here's my new criteria. First, what time does the goddamn garbage man come? Because mine will be showing up at 6:18 tomorrow morning when I wake up. Neep, 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 neep. What's up? Did they just drive exclusively in reverse now, garbage men? They don't drive the truck forward anymore, do they? It's why I'm lying in bed. I'll go to bed at 2, 6:18 tomorrow. Neep, 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 neep. I got the garbage guy, I got the recycling guy, and I got the tree trimming guy.
You know,
the guys who collect the green bucket.
Oh, yeah.
So it's times three. They spread it out. Well, I had a meeting. They had a town meeting about 6 years ago, and they said, let's see, the Corolla boy's hitting Ram about, well, it's probably between 6:18 and 6:23, so let's shoot for 6:20. Then we've also calculated that after he's awake, and it usually takes him about 17 minutes to fall back asleep, but again, he doesn't hit REM for about 46 to 52 minutes after the initial waking. So let's send the first force in at 6:20. Second one will come in at 7, between 7:03 and 7:06. And then again with the REM, he'll hit again, and then it'll be about 7:51 to 7:54.
Then we'll have him up. And he'll be desirous of his mail. Send that at 7 p.m.
That's right. Mail come. Well, what time do the streetlights come on?
Yeah,
mail come about 7:30 in the evening. And see if you can throw it in reverse about every six. Beep, beep. About every 6 feet. See if you can toss that rig into a reverse.
In fact, just back up your street.
I'll tell you.
Forget it going forward.
You know what platform I'm going to run on when I run for... president's not quite a big enough title for me, but like Poobah, I'm going to run on the platform where we eliminate the beep, beep from all reverse vehicles, and that when you call that wrong number, you don't get the bleep, bleep, bleep. You just get that bitch telling you called the wrong number, as if you're going to argue with her. Wrong number? But where's the distressing tone? Huh, now I'm confused. But what are you going to do? Have a conversation? And here's the thing. Either give me the bleep, 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 or give me the bitch telling me it's the wrong number, but don't give me both. I really believe it's a subtle form of punishment.
Yeah.
I really do. And the other one I'm going to do is I'm going to somehow change the tone on the fax machine. Because if you're ever driving in your car and you call the wrong number and you got the phone pressed mashed up in your head and you get that fax thing.
Yeah.
I mean, I've lost feelings with that fax thing.
You drive the car off the road.
I'm going to straighten everything out, Drew. Wait a
little
bit.
We're not quite done with Josh. Sounds
right. Oh, we are?
No.
No, we're done.
No, we're not.
What do you have a question about? Garbage man?
I bet you he got victimized by a couple of neighbors. I think this would be interesting. I bet you.
A couple?
Yeah.
Josh? Well, he was moving around a lot.
That's my point. More than one neighbor?
No, just one.
Just the one. How old were you?
I was 8.
Crescent.
So it might be worth looking into that, because that's where your problem's coming from.
All right. The guy was prosecuted, and he did spend 4 years in jail.
Good. 4 years.
Four.
Four of a 20-year sentence. He appealed.
Sure.
It was wonderful.
No one else ever did anything to you, though?
No.
All right.
But you still got to get a little therapy for this, buddy.
Okay.
But that's the way molestation goes.
It creates an implicit wiring, implicit functioning in your brain that's left behind from the trauma, and you got to get that sort of undone.
Everyone's getting it by their neighbors. You should talk to a realtor about that. See if there's a pedophile living nearby.
Break.
Want to take a break?
Yep.
Okay. We'll be right back. Hotcha! Love line. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Not it, buddy boy.
Not that right.
Skip it all up. Drew, you ever hear this joke? Katie?
Yes.
You're 18?
Yes, I am.
What's up?
Wow. I'm so excited.
We're excited to talk to you.
I've been listening to you guys for 7 years.
Wow.
Yeah. Okay, so my question. I had a lot of problems, like, in the past. Like, I was really depressed. Incredibly depressed for a really long time. Mm. I used heroin for 2 years. Mm. I, like, tried to kill myself, like, 5 times. I was cutting myself, et cetera, et cetera. And, like, nothing happened to me. Like, I can't figure out what was wrong with me. Like, why I was so depressed. And
well, you're an addict, okay?
That came after. I'm trying to figure out what caused, like...
You weren't doing any drugs before the depression came on?
No, I was depressed for a little, like, a while first, and then I started doing heroin.
You didn't start with heroin.
I did.
You went right to heroin. No, pot, no mushrooms, no LSD. Nothing.
I smoked pot like twice in my life.
That they say that heroin is a stepping stone drug.
It's more harder. Harder drugs.
Yeah. Well, you start with the heroin, and next thing you know, it's wine coolers and joints. Yeah.
Bartles and James Zima. Yeah.
So, Katie, why are you happy now?
I don't know. I'm happy now. That's a good question. I went to rehab for a while.
You're in recovery.
I'm sorry?
You're in recovery. You're working a program.
I've just started getting really, like, serious about it, though.
That people end up better than they ever knew they could be. They end up happy in the program.
But my real question, though, is, like, one day I was just, like, freaking out, and I asked my mom, like, if anything happened to me, like, if I was ever molested or anything, you know, when I was little that I didn't remember, like, if there's something happened. Mm-hmm. And she said no, but she said I'm adopted. Mm. And so what I was kind of wondering was, if, like, the, you know, I was adopted before I was 1, so I don't remember it. I was, like, 4 months.
Well, that's being adopted at 6 months of age is a profound risk.
Is it really?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I mean, that is...
You figure the worst.
Yeah.
Figure ritualistic abuse.
No, but, I mean, first of all, you have to wonder why a parent gives up a child that they're already attached to.
Yeah.
And then number two, imagine all the child has at that age, that all they have is the attachment to mom. That's everything. That is their entire emotional system. It operates around that.
That's
and when that is ripped apart.
That's all I had growing up.
I know, I'm sure.
And freak speed out. Racing.
And when that is ripped away at 4, 6, 8 months of age, it is a profound, profound risk for serious psychiatric problems.
I had no idea. Wow. Okay. Yeah. So my mother told me that when they got me, I just sat and cried like for weeks in my crib. Yeah,
well, do you want to look up your biological mom?
I thought about it. Yeah. I probably will eventually.
And by the way, the fact that you cried for weeks in your crib, normal reaction.
Yeah.
Normal. And that's why you're able now to sort of manage things. You're able to, you have some resources to call upon. You weren't profoundly damaged prior to that made you sort of not even aware of your attachments.
Mm-hmm.
You understand people that aren't aware of attachment, that have real attachment deficiencies, that don't cry when they leave their mom, end up people that can't empathize with other people. They sort of have criminal impulses. They're really chaotic emotionally.
There's a website I'm trying to think of the name of it, where you can, young kids can go and look up their mothers who gave them up at 6 months of age.
Called?
Cokehors.com.
I see. Good time.
Did you write that down?
And that's an interesting point.
Yeah.
And you don't know, Katie, what kind of biological circumstances you were exposed to as well.
Yeah.
And again, there's a
don't
lot
look
here.
Up. Don't look up biological mom.
No.
Marie?
Yeah.
You're 20?
Yep.
Your boyfriend likes to do what?
Okay. Right before he comes, after I give him a blowjob, before he comes, he likes me to stick my fingers up his ass.
Mm-hmm.
And I just want to know, is that like a common thing, or is it just...
Wouldn't call it common.
Where'd you go to finishing school again?
Sorry.
I missed that part.
Didn't go.
I have trouble speaking out in public. I'm embarrassed. So,
he likes to know, what about intercourse? You guys have sex?
Yeah.
Okay.
Does he ask for that then, too?
Well, yeah.
Okay. Hold on a second.
Okay.
Yeah, just yes or no answer.
All right, Marie?
Mm-hmm.
We got to take a little break.
Okay.
I'm going to try that out on Drew, right?
Okay, have fun.
All right. Well, it's for him. It's not for me. All right.
As you well know, Marie.
Yeah.
All right.
And then we'll get back with you and talk about the finger in the butt.
Okay.
All righty.
Bye.
All right.
So gleeful about this.
That's right.
Nice.
Mary.
I guess you'd have to be going along with that kind of thing.
Well, maybe. You know, Drew, you're casting dispersions, but maybe he likes it. We'll take a break. Line. I'm Adam. That's Doc Drew over there. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Crystal Method, Linkin Park, The Offspring, Jack Osborne, all on tap next week. All right. Big week, Drew. I'm going to start emotionally getting ready for it.
Tonight? Tomorrow night?
Let's think about Sunday night, about 10:15, 10:20. Marie.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the boyfriend likes you to jam a finger in his rectum.
Yeah.
While you're giving him the oral sex.
Well, actually, right before he comes.
No, we get that.
Right. Yeah. Right. And
it doesn't make a lot of sense to do it afterwards.
How do you get the finger up there?
Huh?
How do you do that in a position?
I don't know. I do not know.
Is he like standing up?
No.
He's sitting on his back?
Yeah.
Hey, get the finger up there with him on his back. Huh?
I don't know. That's his thing. I just do not like doing it.
You don't like doing it.
Right.
Which finger do you use?
I don't know. Whatever.
Whichever one's handy?
Yeah, basically.
You get it with the handy pun there? And no lubrication?
No.
No.
Glove?
No glove, huh?
No.
Or those little finger things you roll?
He
doesn't like that stuff, so... natural for him, I guess.
Yeah, you ever run into any obstructions up there?
No, actually. Thank God.
All right. And when you get up there, do you feel his prostate?
I really don't want to even look for that.
She doesn't know what she's
I know, doing. But you feel something.
Don't even worry.
She disconnects from her hand.
And jam it up there, and he's good just a few seconds after
that's
right?
That's all he wants it there for, is just a couple seconds, and then it's all done. It's
like, all right. Then, you got to really, you got to wash up after that, right?
Yeah, definitely.
All right. And you don't want to do this anymore?
No. I did it once, never want to do it again.
Well, one time.
Just once, huh?
Once.
All right.
And every single time that we do that, like I give him a little job or whatever, he always wants it. And I'm like, I don't want to do it. So, and I tell him. But what is it with guys and liking that?
Well,
most guys don't like that.
Well, hopefully.
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 I don't want to encounter any future males this way.
Yeah, I mean, you could get on a bad roll. My sister did, versus, she dated like 22 guys that all wanted this.
Really? That's nice.
It's a bad
run.
How
did that come up? At Thanksgiving? Easter?
Bad run. We're very open.
Yeah, I can imagine.
Hey, Marie?
Mm-hmm?
Why don't you take some, like, paprika and put it under your fingernail or something, you know? Something to sort of subtly dissuade him from you doing this again.
For me not to do it anymore.
Yeah, just tell me you're not interested. You don't want to do that.
Some guys are into this, but not only are most guys not into it, I'd say most guys are aversive to this.
Okay.
All right? And the guys that are into it, it may or may not mean something, but it doesn't mean much specific, that's for sure.
Okay.
Yeah. All right, so just tell him you don't want to do it. You're fine.
All right, cool.
And if he argues with you, take the BJ off the table. I mean, take that back, too.
All right.
All right?
You are in control, Marie. Know that.
All right.
Even though guys pressure like hell.
Does he pleasure you orally?
Yeah, he does actually. Yeah.
Do a good job?
Very good.
Mm. All right.
Good times.
All right. All right, enjoy.
All right, thanks.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right, thank you.
Thanks.
Thanks. Robert?
Yeah.
29?
What's that?
29 years of age?
Oh, yeah.
What's up?
I'm very much into oral sex. I love pleasing my girlfriend.
Uh-huh.
I'm just kind of curious.
Hold on, I've heard about enough of this jackass's rhetoric.
Oh, really?
Pleasing his girlfriend orally. How dare he?
Why'd that piss you off?
I don't like guys like this spreading that kind of propaganda on the air.
The idea that men would get into pleasing their girlfriend.
Yeah. Hey, Robert. Keep talking.
What?
Keep talking.
Okay. When she has an orgasm, it doesn't seem like it's coming like it's from stimulating her clit. I mean, it's like she's forcing the top of my mouth down above her clit.
Force the top of your mouth
like
down.
Your teeth against the pubic bone kind of thing?
Yeah.
Well, wait, that's not forcing it down. It's forcing it up.
But it's forcing
it's not forcing it down. She's forcing it against herself.
Right. Okay.
Is there something up there?
Yes. Some women don't like direct stimulation on the clitoris. They need around it. And there's an area there around the pubic bone that can be firmly stimulated that will get sort of, get things going.
Does that have to do anything with the G-spot or anything like that?
No. Well, it's all tied together. But, no, that's just her way of doing it. It's okay.
Is that all right with you?
No, that's fine. I was really curious about it because, like I said, every woman's different, and this is the first time I've ever come across something like this.
She pushes your teeth into the pubic bone.
No, not really my teeth. It's more like just my top lip.
And can you breathe?
Yeah, well, I can breathe. I have to breathe through my nose.
Yeah, all right.
Hey, you got it. I don't have a cold.
Yeah, I got that deviated septum, so it's difficult for me.
Huh?
Yeah, I have a note for my doctor says I can't perform oral. I show it to the ladies. I was smart. I got it laminated. Finally, I keep it in my wallet. I flash it.
I think it's as courtesy to them. It'd be very unpleasant to have to listen to that.
Yeah. I keep my wallet. I flash it like Sergeant Friday would flash his tin on Dragnet. Like, you wake up, sorry, man, can't go down. They're like, look at the badge. Show them the note. Yeah, my oral sex sounds like this. Like,
now, see, his girlfriend wouldn't let you up for that. So you'd have to really compensate with the nose. Yeah.
Nathan?
Hey.
You're 18?
Yeah, I am.
What's up?
I've just been getting real kind of violent tendencies here lately. And I kind of know why they're there. I never really expect them to be there because I didn't think anything was really wrong with me until this recently.
What'd you do?
Oh, I didn't do anything. It's just I kind of had a bad childhood, and I never really, as I got older, I knew I had a bad childhood, but I never really thought it affected me any until just recently.
What happened in your childhood?
A lot of stuff. You know, it started when I was like seven.
A lot of stuff.
When I was seven, and my dad got stabbed to death.
Mm-hmm.
And after that, my mom was with, like, I don't know, a whole bunch of different guys, And some of them would beat her, and me and my brothers would have to chase them out of the house with coffee cups and knives and all kinds of stuff.
Who stabbed your dad?
His name was Rodney. That's all I know. I mean, it's just some
Rodney.
Guy. My mom was separated from my dad at the time, and my dad went over to her house to take a shower or something, and the guy was celebrating his birthday, and he came home because my dad disconnected a phone call from him and my mom because he owed my mom owed him some money, and he got all mad about it. Came over there and they got into a fight. My dad got stabbed.
Wow.
A couple times. And the guy went out and celebrated his birthday some more, and the cops arrested him.
No, he sounds like a dynamite individual.
But this was your mom's boyfriend at the time?
I really don't know about that. I kind of have a feeling it was, but I don't know.
Yeah, it was her boyfriend. That's why you got angry, because your dad was taking a shower at his girlfriend's house.
Hey, your mom sounds like a real class act.
Oof.
Oh,
my,
boy.
No, my mom really is a really good woman. And my dad, he was into a lot of drugs and everything like that. And there's really no telling what went on.
Yeah, but your mom is a really good woman, but your mom dated a guy who ultimately killed your dad, and then she dated a succession of a-holes that beat on her, and you had to chase out of the house with a coffee mug.
All right, so obviously now you have trouble with aggression yourself. So how can we help you?
I was kind of wondering if you had... like lately, I just kind of have to stop myself from doing something like that something violent, you know, because I feel like I'm just going to, like attack somebody
Hey, you know, Nathan.
Yeah.
I just got back from a maximum security prison a few weeks ago.
Uh-huh.
And there's a whole bunch of guys in there that really just did something bad once, and they're not OJ, and they're not Klaus von Bureau, and they're in there for the rest of their lives. They're just rotting away in prison.
What happens with the guys like Nathan is there are parts of the brain that sort of shrink that are there to contain aggression. And so the biology, the anatomy isn't there to help him.
Oh, all right. Well, you got to kill then.
Well, no, maybe he, but I'm not so sure that taking him to the high, you know,
well, listen,
the penitentiary is going to deter him. But maybe.
Well, I'm just sharing my experience and trying to dissuade him way.
I know. Are you a religious guy, Nathan?
Absolutely not.
No.
Good boy. Good boy.
So I was wondering, that kind of thing might help him. You know, with a.
Yeah. Some of it, too. Hey, Nathan.
Yes.
Let me tell you a little something about life. Mm-hmm. I was going to break into song, but I realized I didn't have one. Here's the deal. There's the kind of person you are, and then there's the kind of person you act like. And if you could be a person that has some bad thoughts and some violent thoughts, but if you put together enough days, enough months, enough years where you don't do anything violent, then that becomes the kind of person you are.
Mm-hmm.
Even though it might come more naturally to other people, I mean, they may go 5 years without getting into a scrape, and they may never plan on it. And for Nathan, he may have to think about it every day. And it may be a little more work for you, but you can be that kind of person.
Mm-hmm.
You just have to keep your eyes open, and you can't do stuff like go out and get loaded a lot, because that's where the trouble's going to start.
Mm-hmm.
And you got to sort of nip things in the bud. Like, you can't decide it's going to be a good idea to start carrying a knife, or it's going to be a great idea to put a Glock in your glove box or something like that, because then that leads to trouble.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's almost like you have to child-proof your house against you, except for with weapons and situations.
Good advice.
Yeah, I mean, look, here's the problem with a lot of people. They have impulse control.
Mm-hmm.
But if there's no gun to go running for and there's no knife to pull from your boot, then the impulse doesn't really amount to that much oftentimes.
Not the kind of disaster it could be.
Yeah, it's the a-holes who say, I'm going to put this knife in my boot. I'm going to keep it there for protection. Then they go get drunk and some guy shoves them around and insults them and they get thrown out of the bar. And then they come back and stab the guy with the knife. As it turns out, it wasn't there for the guy's protection. And now the guy's doing life in prison.
Right.
He is.
I mean, yes, you is. Yes, he proverbially is.
The royal you.
The royal you is. So, Nathan, A, avoid all this kind of stuff, the knife in the boot and gun in the glove box sort of thing. But two, I think he's got to get some counseling too, right?
Yeah, but...
What?
See, that's why I was thinking about more like a religious kind of thing, because he needs a connection with a group. He needs somebody to help contain him.
All right.
Nathan,
when's the last time you really took a good look at Jesus Christ?
I don't think I ever really took a good look at him.
Yeah.
Maybe when I was seven. Yeah. When I was seven, I was starting to believe in him.
Maybe find Jesus.
My dad got stabbed to death.
Yeah,
you know, kind of blew that all to hell. And I kind of ignored him the whole rest of the time.
Yeah,
my life.
Connection with something transcendent might really help me.
Well, what about Buddha or Allah or Bogisattva? No.
No, just atheist.
Nah, atheists. Mm. All right, but atheists usually aren't that violent, ironically.
Mm.
Well, you say that, but what percentage of guys in prison for violent crimes are atheists, Drew?
All right.
That's always my argument.
But think about... Think about Nathan. I mean, what's he going to get? Anger management class?
I don't know. I don't
booze?
Know.
It's nothing
all
very
right.
specific.
Nathan, yeah. no booze. Watch it with the booze and watch it with the weapons
advice,
around
yeah,
the house.
That's another big problem of mine. I'm a real big alcoholic.
All right. Well, there's some place you can focus your attention.
Right.
Go to AA, get a sponsor, work the program. Forget what I said about the church. Go right to AA, and you'll find a connection there, and that'd be fine.
All right,
there you go.
Got a follow-up call from Kentucky. John?
Yeah.
36?
Yeah.
What's up?
Hey, how you doing?
Hey, good.
Hi, Dr. Drew.
How you doing?
I talked to you guys about 4 or 5 months ago.
And
called in about a problem where I was younger. This guy had molested me.
Yeah.
I woke up to him basically giving me head.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I remember this call.
Yeah, I took his car. And, Adam, you said...
You took his
car?
Hey,
that's good enough, you know. Yeah, you took the guy's car. Leave it be.
How'd you take the guy's car? I don't remember that part.
Well, he passed out eventually.
All right, well, wait a minute. Let's recreate. Yeah, hold on a second. I remember this guy. I don't know why it's stuck in my head, because, as you know, I shake my head like an Etch-A-Sketch when I leave every night. I don't remember any of the calls.
Mm-hmm.
But John, I remember, he was an angry guy.
Yeah.
And I believe his situation was he wasn't a kid. He was an adult.
Right. Like and he was in fraternity or something.
He woke up, some guy was giving him a BJ.
Right.
And he was really, furious, really yeah. furious at the guy. And my thing is I guess what I was saying was he screwed with the guy. He was an adult. I don't know.
Well, I think it was don't get arrested for...
Yeah, it doesn't make you gay.
That wasn't the case.
What?
Well, what was it?
You
what?
Don't remember.
All right, hey, shut up. Don't give me any attitude or I'll hang up on your ass.
Well, I'm sorry about that, but you said you remember, you know. This guy, I was a kid. I was 16.
Right.
All right, yeah. But that's not my. I'm talking 8.
Yeah, you weren't 6 or 5.
Oh, okay.
All right.
All right, my bad. But taking his car wasn't good enough.
And all right. Well,
I
hold
found
on.
Myself now, and my question is.
Wait a minute. I don't want to hear it now. I want you to tell me what happened again. You were 16.
Yeah, I was 16. I was hanging out with my cousin. He had his own apartment. Him and his wife. We went over to one of their buddies' house. It turned out he was an older man. He was gay.
Right.
And I woke up. This guy was, and we were drinking. I woke up, and this guy was giving me oral sex.
Right.
My cousin had left at that point. We were over at his house, this guy's, and I just laid there and let him continue giving me oral sex.
Right.
And when he passed out, I took his keys, woke up my one cousin, younger cousin than me, and we took his car.
All right.
Drove it to Georgia and left it on the highway.
Oh, God.
And wrecked it up along the way.
All right.
And you said, Adam, back then, you said that was good enough.
Oh, yeah. All
right. It ain't. I mean, you know, I still find myself thinking about that. This guy... You know, I mean, I dropped out of school. I mean, I kind of went berserk after this.
Yeah. But I told you probably then that what this guy did was wrong, but he's not the reason that your life came completely undone.
Nor is you doing things to this guy going to correct the situation. In fact, it will make everything worse.
Unlike, I mean, some of the callers that, you know, I do, I am happy I have vehicles, 2 cars, older cars, but, and I'm, you know, making ends meet.
One of them's in Georgia.
Wait a minute, but John.
What kind of cars do you have, by the way?
Well, I have a 83 Delta 88.
Oh, Oldsmobile.
Two-door. Nice
tan
car.
Interior?
Gold.
Tan interior?
No, it's a blue car and a blue interior.
Blue interior, okay, 82 volts.
And a Pontiac Grand Prix, it's a 95.
All right, you're a multi-car owner. Things are doing good for you.
But both of them, 8 cylinders and 4 barrels.
Cylinder, right?
Yeah.
All right, John, here's the deal. So you're obsessing with doing things to this guy means you need help, you need treatment, that this has triggered something, and this, whether it's a post-traumatic stress reaction or God knows what, that needs to be dealt with in you, in your cranium. Not right. You acting out further and doing things to this guy of a criminal nature or an abusive nature. That will only put you further into harm's way and, in fact, not make you feel any better.
What are you doing for a living?
I really don't want to say, Adam. Let's just put it this way.
Dealing.
You buy groceries and you stuff them into sacks, right?
Yeah.
Those sacks we make.
You make those sacks?
Yeah.
You do the paper or plastic? Because I want to help you out. I never know what to take.
Both of them.
You do both of them?
Yeah.
You do the paper ones with the handles built in now?
Yeah.
I like that invention. If they held more than 3 ounces, it'd be great.
Yeah.
Handle pops every time. Reinforce that handle, buddy. Yeah, I want you to go in tomorrow to R&D and tell them they got to beef up that handle a little bit. The Corolla boy likes to buy a nice jug
You're
of milk and a
wrong bag.
Cassava melon and a snap a handle on that thing every time.
Yeah.
All right, so listen, John.
Yeah.
You're obsessing on this and you're focusing on it, and this isn't the reason.
I'm wondering what type of treatment and what kind of help does it do for you?
Go ahead, Drew. Tell them what kind of help.
It's not entirely clear. You need a more thorough assessment. I suspect there's something else in your past or something else about you that caused this to trigger such an intense reaction, and maybe that needs to be dealt with. You need to probably see a psychiatrist, see if there's a mood disorder here, and then somebody needs to refer you to a therapist to sit and talk with about this stuff so you don't act on it.
You know, I think it's always ironic about guys who own 2 cars, always worse combined than 1 car. 1 medium car. It's this way with guys who have 2 jobs, too. Always worse than 1 job. Guys brag, I got 3 jobs and 3 cars. You got 3 jobs, and the combined net total of those 3 jobs is $28,000 a year. And you got 3 cars. One's worth $900, other's worth $1,400, and you got one that's up on blocks. It's really just for scrap. Still don't amount to... 1 '93 Civic. Got a Delta 88. 82 olds. The $900 car. All right. You got to get some help, John. You're obsessing. I'm saying. Listen, everybody. We tell people a lot of times on this show, hey, move on. Hey, get some help. Hey, stuff that you got to do.
Right.
Now, look, if we had our choice, we'd put a bullet in the guy's head. But we can't do that, and we're not talking to him. And it's not that we don't want justice to be carried out, and it's not that this person doesn't deserve bad things to happen to them. The point is we're talking to you, and this isn't going to help you. We talked to the guy 5 months ago. We told him he's got to move on with his life. He's got to get some counseling. And as Drew brought up, him doing something crappy to this guy is not going to make him feel any better.
No, it doesn't make him feel worse.
That's the fantasy.
Yeah, he'll be relieved.
And it never works. It's always disappointing.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Take ourselves a little break. When we come back, we'll add laxity. What?
I don't know. I'm curious what this one is.
All right. After this. To David, who's 16. Yeah. David, what's happening, buddy?
I went to the doctor about a week ago, and for a physical.
Mm-hmm.
He told me that when I coughed under my left testicle, he said there's a laxity. I have no idea what that is.
Yeah, he's not talking about under your testicle. He's talking about where your testicle descends from your abdomen.
Right.
When he pushes his finger up in there.
Well, it seems like under.
That's the inguinal canal that the hernia sticks. Comes down through.
Is that what they're feeling for?
And if that's a little loose or lax, there's a risk of hernia developing there.
Uh-huh.
We also call it patchless. The ring, inguinal ring, is patchless.
And what do you think causes that?
Genetics.
Being gay and lazy.
Just me and you. It's no big deal. They just need to keep an eye on it.
That's what I was saying.
See if a hernia does, in fact, develop. Does your dad have a hernia?
No.
Yeah.
My dad does. So that's really the only thing he gave me.
Well, you have one too, right?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. That's the only thing my dad gave me.
Good times.
Give me the hernia bulge. Well, I've had that bulge for like 8 or 9 years now, Drew.
Doing fine.
I don't know. Now I'm starting to feel my nut sack a little bit.
Oh, it's going all the way down?
Well, here's what I'm feeling. You tell me. You tell me what this is.
Hmm.
After I put in a day of hoops or boxing or something a little bit strenuous, usually playing hoops, you know, sometimes we play 10, 15 games of hoops out 4 or 5 hours, right?
Hmm.
Feel a little something in the lower back. Feel a little something in the nut sack.
Same side?
Right side, yeah. Same side as the lump. A little something in the sack there and a little something like down the back of the right leg a little bit.
Mm, good times.
Yeah. Now, what is that with the, back and the down the back of the right leg kind of thing and the little right leg, little right nut kind of thing?
It could be just prostate. The prostate does that, too.
If it's a hernia, is it, Jesus, my fly's down, Drew.
Nice.
I mean, I'm a mess. I'm presenting. Get my fly up. If it's just the hernia, is it? Where am I going to feel it? In the nut?
In the nut, usually.
You feel it in the nut, and then you feel like a little bit up top?
Right.
But if you're feeling pain in that area, imagine it could feel a little in the lower back, a little in the thigh.
What really happens if the hernia gets incarcerated or stuck is the whole abdomen starts to have pain.
But is this common where then it goes away, then you go out and do something a little bit strenuous,
and it
kind of comes back a little bit, and then it kind of mellows out over the next few days.
Could be.
Hey, good times. Eventually, I'm going to have to do something.
Yeah.
Michael?
Will you do me a favor and not preach about what part of your body gets shaved and what kind of underwear or not underwear or robe you have to wear?
Oh, you mean when you go for
the procedure? Yeah.
Look,
embarrass me.
I'll let them have my underpants if I'm getting the hernia surgery, but for hand surgery, I got to give my goddamn underpants? How dare they? This is the final indignity. Underpants. Guy says, it could catch on fire. Listen, if my nuts catch on fire while you're operating on my hands, you got a lawsuit going. Underpants or not. My nuts burst into flames while you got my left hand cut open. You're going to be hearing from my attorney. Nuts or not. Underpants or not. And I told him, listen, I'll take that chance. You know what? I'm the kind of guy that likes to look death in the eye. And if I die, I don't want to meet the maker nude.
Right.
I want to be in my underpants, goddammit. That underpants, for me, it's like Batman's utility belt.
Samson's hair.
It's Samson's hair, do you hear me? Guys like having their underpants on, especially when they're asleep. Hey, look, give me your underpants. I'll shoot you full of drugs and you'll be passed out. Meanwhile, I'll have your underpants. No. You know what I want? I want like 3 pair of underpants and a chastity belt.
Michael?
You know?
Yeah.
You never know what those doctors are
what's
thinking.
What's going on there?
Sorry, what?
What's going on?
Well, you mentioned, Dr. Drew at least mentioned some books last night on the show that he said, I think, advocated sexual relationships between adults and children.
Well, there was a book in the news about a month ago that was leaving the door open to the possibility that a child could have a consensual sexual relationship, and it was just bizarre. And I forget the name of the author. I forget the name of the book, unfortunately. But
was it harmful to minors?
Yes.
Yeah.
Is that a misrepresentation of that book?
Well, I can't say that. But what it called to mind for me was another book that has gotten really bad press, and I think was unfairly villainized, called Erotic Innocence.
Mm-hmm.
And was debunking myths about sexual abuse and things like that, and harmful to minors, as far as I understand it, is saying that children deserve sexual autonomy and have a right to their sexual feelings. I don't think it advocates relationships between...
I read some passages from it where it left the door open to that being possibly good for kids, or possibly okay for kids.
Uh-huh.
That somehow kids can consent to that, and that is just, I mean, if you ever listen to this show, I think you get a sense for how ridiculous that is.
Hey, Michael, you into the lads?
No. What? Hmm? That's
that's what I'm saying isn't the case with the book.
All right. What are you into?
Into
the gals or the gents?
Yeah, yeah.
The gals?
Yeah.
With penises or?
What?
The younger gals?
No.
No. All right. What do you care?
Well, what I think that the ideas that these authors are raising are valid, and I wish that, you know, we could get past the the shrillness in the discussion of these issues.
Why?
Because I think that I agree with them that the image that we have of children and the images that we have of childhood are damaging to kids and are making it difficult for them to grow up as healthy people and to develop healthy relationships with them, with each other and with grown-ups. And that the way that we talk about issues like sexual abuse, it doesn't help the problem. It contributes to it. And when we villainize the authors of books who try to get below the surface, then we're really doing ourselves a disservice. And so I think that...
What bothered me about all these books is they pay absolutely zero attention to clinical and health information. It becomes an abstract philosophical discussion for them. And there are things in the human that are healthy and things that are unhealthy. And it is not even open for discussion for people that deal in that realm. It is overwhelmingly obvious. And for people to take it out of the reality of the human experience and put it into the abstract realm of philosophic discussion and legalities and sociology is simply false. It's a false move. Not without a very, very, very extensive study of clinical aspects of it.
Listen, Michael, don't worry about it. 24-year-old man like yourself should not be reading. You understand? It poisons the mind. Poison. You want to learn something? That's what cable's for. All right, buddy?
Okay.
All right.
Poor Michael. You're like, yeah, okay. Yeah, thanks, Adam. Good night.
Fairy sitting around reading all day.
No, he's in the girls.
He's into girls. But are the gals into him?
By the way, what is so damaging about how we talk about children? Children, adults, or
I don't know. Anyone who has energy about young kids and their sexuality. And I'm not saying Michael was calling saying it's okay to boff 4-year-olds in the ass, but anybody's, you know, it's sort of like, even if you come from that, no, I'm not saying pedophilia is good, but hear me out. Understand what these authors are trying to... I don't know. What are they trying to say? They should be saying nothing.
Well, the thing I find just absolutely... I put it reprehensible, is that they speak with no knowledge. They have no experience of dealing in the clinical realm. If they had PhDs and they've been practicing for years and years and had extensive experience and they had some observations to share, all right, and then they wanted to put it in a philosophical realm also, all right, so be it. I'm ready to listen. But this is not that. This is, we're going to take an abstract argument and we're going to, you know, pull it out of what is real about the human experience and argue that it should be a different way.
Yeah. No.
That's not okay.
I don't know. Like I said, guys should be reading... Guys should be reading instructions on how to put together fake Christmas trees. That's it. That's the extent of reading men should do. Reading should be a chore to a male. You know what I mean? You know, like to
I
me...
I love reading.
Yeah. Well, that's because you're gay. Real men shouldn't read. You know what real men should do? Like once a year, you get a new garage door opener, and you got to program it. And you pop open the carton, and it's, oh, Christ, that thing falls out. Oh, boy, it's in Japanese and French. And take coder, hold down code button, wait for red light, hold and tell a code up to existing garage door
you
opener.
Don't read that anyway.
You have to read that, or you'll never figure out how to program your
new
garage door opener.
You're right.
That's the extent of my reading. Other than that, my reading is what's on top of the TiVo.
Mm-hmm.
When I punch a movie up. And you know what drives me nuts? You know, you guys think I complain a lot on the radio. I sit home and I get it outraged.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, I sit home and I obsess on the star system. Because if you have TiVo, it'll tell you every movie you watch, it'll do the star thing. It'll be like Freddy Got Fingered, 2001, Tom Green, 2.5 stars, you know. And I'm watching one of my favorite movies a couple of weeks ago, which is...
Capone?
No. which is Defending Your Life, is a great, great Albert Brooks movie.
Everyone should see.
Would you shut up, Drew? You're never, ever right. No, Albert Brooks in Defending Your Life, which is a very funny, very poignant movie, probably his best movie and a great, great movie with Meryl Streep in it and Rip Torn, is 3 stars.
Mm-hmm.
And then Freddy Got Fingered comes on. And Freddy Got Fingered is fun to watch, like it's fun to watch dogs humping,
mm-hmm.
you know? But, I mean, this movie is an abortion. I mean, it's an atrocity. I mean, you watch this movie and you're like, wow, they let Tom Green direct that movie? And what was in the script? And it's basically Tom Green, like, works at a cheese sandwich factory, and cut to him walking on a conveyor belt filled with cheese sandwiches and a bunch of old ladies, and he's going, Mommy likes cheesy. Mommy likes cheesy. Cheesy, cheesy? Mommy likes cheesy. It's like inane, just bizarre, nonsensical. You sort of watch with your mouth open. You're going, wow, I can't believe no one stopped him. Like, whoo, he must have some really stupid friends. Like, nobody intervened at a certain point and went, hey, Tom, what the F are you doing? This isn't a movie you're making. This is just some bizarre masturbatorial exercise. I mean, this just like sheer junk, just garbage. 2.5 stars.
How old were you?
So Albert Brooks gets a half star more for a masterpiece, and Tom Green basically hacks his way through some just bizarre masturbatorial mess of a movie.
Tuesday.
And he's half a star down.
Two statements, Adam. Number one.
What the F is going on?
Yeah.
Now I'm yelling at the TV set. How dare they? I've got to peel a letter off to one of these. If I could write, Drew, first letter.
Or read.
First letter would go right to the people
who
did the star system.
First of all, Adam,
how dare they?
Adam, it takes all kinds.
Yeah, but the Tom Green, Freddy Got Fingered is a marvelous pile of steaming dung. I mean, it's not even a movie. It's
number
not
two.
Fair to call it a movie.
How old were you when you saw Defending Your Life? First time?
27.
You weren't 16?
No, Defending Your 18? Life came out in 1992, all right, 91.
All right. All right.
Drew, again with the valid point.
Well, I just wanted to make sure it wasn't what jaded or intensified your sense of it being the best movie you ever saw, kind of thing.
Yeah, you made that. Defending Your Life.
It's a great film. No,
James Cagney and Agnes Moorehead starred, 1939.
Yeah.
Are You High? Came out in like 91 or 92.
All right.
I thought it was a great movie when it came out, and then I saw it again 2 nights ago, and it's a great movie.
Yeah. I agree with you.
Have you seen it?
I have seen it.
You don't even know what I'm talking
I've
about.
I've seen it. Rip Torn, going, you know, showing the screen, the pictures of him.
Watch it again, Drew.
Yeah. No, I thought it was a good film. Great film.
Yeah, half star from Freddy Got Fingered.
No, your point is well taken.
Are they high? Meanwhile, I can get -4 stars whenever I'm reviewed, like the New York Post or the Washington Post. Why don't you just give Freddy Got Fingered -4 stars? You give it 2.5? All right, Crystal, what's up there, baby?
When I was like 5, I got molested by my uncle.
Good times.
And then a few other times, you know, before I was 17. And when I was 17, my mom met this guy who happened to be like, I didn't tell the lady this earlier, but oh well. Happened to be like, he was my boyfriend before my parents got married. And we ended up breaking up. And
wait a minute.
Yeah?
Who was your boyfriend?
The guy before he married her mom.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Oh, yeah.
Who? My stepdad's son.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Before my stepdad married my mom. Anyway, 17, after they were married, he decided one night that he was going to
visit.
Whatever. So I got raped by him.
The stepbrother.
Yeah, yay.
But he already was
ex-boyfriend.
Yeah, and like I didn't even really like him like that much when I was with him, but I guess that's really irrelevant.
Did you sleep with him when he was your boyfriend?
No. I was a virgin. And then he ended up raping me when I was 17. I'm 20 now.
While you were living with him?
Yeah.
How did your uncle molest you? What did he do?
I came in on like the middle of the night, and he was in the living room, and he was like, come lay down next to me, and I don't know, had me touch a few places, did a few things.
But no sex?
No sex. Oh. No penetration.
All right, hold on a second, Crystal.
Okay.
So we got to get to this, but we got to get to break, too. What a dynamite guy that uncle is. Mm. I was just thinking about these guys. Like, what are they doing when they find out their sister or brother? Ooh, yeah, good news. We had a daughter. Nice.
Can't wait.
Yeah.
God, what, she's seven?
How old is she? She's 2 weeks old. Oh, right. When's she going to be five? About 3 weeks short of 5 years. Yeah. Oh, no, that's right. Yeah, congratulations. I'll watch her. Do you think they're planning on it?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, are they? I mean, do they go and visit the kid when the kid's like 4 months old in the crib and go...
Probably not consciously, no.
Oh, yeah.
Because they don't react sexually until they get to that arrested place where they were, you know, themselves abused.
All right.
And then all of a sudden, pow.
We'll take a little break. We'll be right back with Crystal after this. Hey, everybody. Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Doc Drew over there. Phone number 1-800-LOVE. Forget about that. We need more calls. Crystal?
Yeah.
You're 20?
Yeah.
Yeah. You got molested by your uncle when you were young.
Yeah.
And then raped by your stepbrother.
Yeah.
How much older is he than you?
I'm 20, so he's like 24.
I see. So when you were like 17, he was 21.
Yeah.
He was living at home, and he came in and raped you, even though you did date him.
Yeah, well, the thing is, I forgot to tell you that before the break. I was actually gay, like, when he decided that, too.
To rape you?
Yeah.
You were how old?
I was 17, and I was, like, out of the closet gay, like, that year.
Hmm.
Wow.
And
what happened when he raped you? I mean...
We were drinking screwdrivers, and I was, like, out of it, like, really bad, because I was just like,
By the way, this whole step-parent, step-kid thing's a disaster. I mean...
I know.
You bring some 21-year-old dude to basically house-sit your 17-year-old, and next thing you know, they're drinking screwdrivers. And it's all above the board. Hey, where are you going? You're not going home. We're home.
Yeah,
you're going to bed. Where were your parents?
This is going to sound really bad, but they were actually, like, saying...
Smoking crack with Hitler?
Pretty much. They were there, actually, and they were like, well, she doesn't know she's gay until she sleeps with a guy, blah, blah, blah.
I mean, they were encouraging him to do this?
Pretty much. Like, they weren't saying raper, but they were just, you know, pretty much saying, well, she doesn't know she's gay, and I'm just like...
Wow.
Like, well, I'm just going to have, you know, a few drinks, hold on. But I haven't drank, like, a screwdriver ever since. Like, I won't even drink a lot anymore because I'm scared.
Oh,
I mean, that really sucks because I'm not even 21 yet, so... But I was telling the lady when I called that, like, I'm unable to achieve an orgasm, like, at all.
Ever.
And I'm almost 21, so that's kind of sad.
Well...
Even when you're alone, you can't have the orgasm.
Mm-mm.
All right, you ever got any counseling for all this trauma?
I'm getting counseling right now. I've actually been diagnosed with bipolar disorder.
Are you on medication?
Yeah.
What are you taking?
Effexor.
Well, that can affect the orgasm.
Really?
Yeah, so you got to talk to your doctor about that. That may be working against you a little bit.
Yeah, just, a lot of women are this way, 20.
Yeah.
You just stick with the therapy,
She's got a lot of stuff going on, so forget above and beyond the usual biological impairment.
Yeah. Missy.
Of the medication and being young.
Do you have sex with a boyfriend 4 times a day?
Yes.
Mm. And the vagina hurts?
Yes.
You're 24?
Yeah.
Were you ever molested?
No, I wasn't.
Why do you get that? Where do I get that little girl voice from?
I'm small.
Okay. What size are you?
I'm 4'11".
Okay, nice. Right. And you're having sex 4 times a day.
Mm-hmm.
Is that what you want to do?
Yeah.
You want to do it 4 times a day?
Yeah.
And
turn that radio down, please. This is bad.
Why?
Because when you're 4'11", you're having sex.
Uh-huh.
4 times a day, you're not built for it. It's like entering a golf cart in a rally. Now, it's not built to take that kind of punishment.
I see.
My size.
That chick could get away with that.
Your what?
My size shouldn't have to do anything with sex, right? Just because I'm short. You're saying because I'm short that
you're petite.
I can't handle having sex.
How much do you weigh?
I weigh about 135.
Hmm.
4'11".
4'11", 135?
Mm-hmm. I'm pretty, like, well endowed, like, at the top. And
at the bottom, too, huh? You're built like a fire hydrant. All right. That's fine. You should be able to have sex then at, and by the way, hold on, let me do the radio math here. 4'11", 135, come to 5, I got her at 5'1", 126. Oh, wait a minute, I screwed that math up.
Go back,
screwed
4'9". That
math up. Oh, I did that, okay, I didn't multiply.
Just subtracted.
Okay, I got, she's 4'9", and 31, 30 seconds. And she's 144. Missy.
Yes.
Okay, so if you're in pain, mm-hmm. why don't you go from 4 times a day to 3 times a day?
Or even 2 or once.
Well, I was just kind of concerned with it because I have a history of polycystic ovaries.
Yeah.
And I was wondering if maybe, like, it could be, like, a cyst that got big or something. And
there is such a thing, but you said your vagina is sore.
No, it's up inside of me that's sore. It's like he's hitting something and it kind of hurts.
Well, why don't you get that checked out? Yes, it could be the cyst, could be infection, could be a lot of different things.
Oh, really?
And it could be just, you know, the irritation of excessive activity.
Four times a day.
Yeah.
Yeah. I haven't had myself a good 4 day or in a...
Ever.
I think I may have beat off 4 times in a day not too long ago, but no, not the sexual part. I'll take a little break. We'll be right back. Well, that's it, everybody.
Big week next week.
Big week. Offspring Sunday night, Crystal Method, Linkin Park, Jack Osborne. I want to thank Brian for doing a great job on the phones all week. Tara, don't call me Qatar, goddammit, is in...
France.
You know, is it okay with everybody that a girl who makes $9,000 a year has a much better life than I do? Is that okay? That's fine with everybody?
Probably makes both people sort of gleeful.
Lives in a better place than I do. Heading back to Europe again. I've not been yet. No problems with that? I don't really like to sit down and talk to people about how they feel about that. $9,000 a year the girl makes, she's off to Europe again. I want to thank Ken for filling in for, I can't even remember that kid's name. We used to run the show. The hell is that kid's name?
Andy Anderson.
Andy?
Andy.
Anderson. Still unclear if that's the first name or the last name.
Right.
Or the only name. It'd be like Liberace. And, of course, producer Ann for doing a wonderful job all week and really planning an all-star musical lineup for next week. So, until next time, this is Adam Carolla for Dr. Drew saying, mahalo.
This has been Loveline. The opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or this station. The producer for Loveline is Ann Wilkins Engel. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.